Do keep that passage open in front of you. We're going to spend a few moments looking at it together. There was once a pianist, a young man who was a musical prodigy and became famous, and people from hundreds of miles would gather to see him. Crowds would come to go to one of his concerts. And at one particular concert, the crowd sat in perfect silence, enraptured as they heard the young man play. Until he got to the end, at which point they all stood up and burst into applause. The pianist stood, took a bow, and left the stage. As soon as he left, the crowd started calling for him to come back. Encore, encore, more, more they wanted. But the pianist didn't come back. The applause got louder. They called for him again and again, but still the pianist stayed off stage. And so eventually the manager of the venue went to find him. "Why aren't you going out?" he said. "Can't you hear how much they want you to play again? Everyone is on their feet." "Not everyone," the pianist said. And then he stood next to the manager and he pointed right at the top of the theatre, where everyone else was standing and clapping and cheering, and pointed out one man who was still sat in his seat with his hands on his lap. "Well, okay," said the manager, "he's not clapping, but what does that matter? That's just one man." "No," said the pianist, "that's not just one man. That's my piano teacher." Last week, we started to look at Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 5, Jesus told us how Christians should be different, how we should be distinct from the world around us, how our lives should make us stand out. But then in chapter 6, he gave us a warning. Chapter 5 ends with the words, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." But chapter 6 starts with, "Be careful." Have a look at chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." In other words, Jesus was saying, don't do your good deeds, don't do your acts of righteousness for the applause of others. What other people think of you, whether good or bad, is not what really counts. What matters is what God thinks of you. Maybe you've heard people say something like, "My faith is private. My relationship with God is personal. I don't wear my faith on my sleeve." But in chapter 5, Jesus says that's nonsense. If you follow Jesus, it won't be hidden. It can't be hidden. It's not supposed to be hidden. You're supposed to be like salt and light. You're supposed to let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That was chapter 5, verse 16. If you're a believer, your faith should be seen. But you shouldn't do it to be seen. The first time I ever stood up to preach, I was terrified. And I still am. I think I was 22 at the time. I was in a little Presbyterian church in West London. And when I got to the pulpit, I found that the minister of the church had written me a message at the top of my sermon notes. It said, "You preach to an audience of one." If we follow the God of the Bible, friends, people will see the difference that it makes in our lives. But we don't do it for them. We obey God for an audience of one. And so in chapter 6, Jesus says, if you want to test whether your faith in public is genuine or whether it's just for show, well, then look at your faith in private. Examine how you live when no one sees, apart from God. And last week we thought about what that meant for our giving, and this week we're going to think about what that means for our praying. So let me pray, and we'll take a look. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would be with us now. Thank you that your Holy Spirit, who inspired these words to be written, is the same Holy Spirit who is at work in us, helping us to understand them. Please would he open our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus said, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. There is no such thing as a Christian who doesn't pray. Did you notice that? Jesus says, and when you pray, but when you pray, and when you pray, this is how you should pray. If you know God, you pray. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't pray, but there is such a thing as a prayer that isn't Christian. Jewish synagogues back in Jesus' day were a bit like churches today. They had services, and very often they would ask people to lead in prayer. Every afternoon, apparently, they would blow trumpets to indicate that they were making the afternoon offering and it was a time for everyone to be praying. But now Jesus says, if the only time you pray is when you're asked to lead the prayers in the synagogue, or when you happen to be out and about when the afternoon prayer trumpets sound and you stop and you pray wherever you are because you know that everyone is watching. If that's the only time you pray or call out to God, well then, friend, you're not really praying. That's not praying, Jesus says, that's performing. You're putting on a show and your prayers mean nothing. Now let me say, there's nothing wrong with public prayer. In fact, it's good and right and biblical. All the way through the Bible we see people praying together or praying in public. But be careful, Jesus says, because your prayers in public can quickly turn into a show. Instead, your prayers in public should reflect your prayers in private. Look at verse 6. Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. An old Scottish theologian called Robert Murray McShane said this: what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. Christians find time to be alone and talk to their Heavenly Father. And then Jesus goes on, verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I can still remember the time that someone said to me, Dim, do you realize you have a prayer voice? Whenever you're praying, your voice changes. You don't talk like that normally. Have you ever heard someone She sounds like Charles Dickens when they pray. Great Father in heaven, we beseech thee to hearken to our petition. We don't talk like that normally. Don't talk like that in your prayers. And it's easy to do. I think I just imitated the person that I learned to pray from. I didn't think about it. But we don't have to use special words or a funny language. God doesn't listen more carefully when we pray in Victorian English or for hours, or we screw our eyes up really tight. Prayer is just talking to God, Jesus says. So how do we do it? Well, that's what Jesus teaches us next. We're going to look at what we call the Lord's Prayer, verses 9 to 13. And to be honest, it would be a good thing to spend a whole sermon series looking at these few verses. They are packed full of wonderful meaning. But this afternoon, I want us to look at them from the point of view of three reasons, I think the three most common reasons we don't pray, and see what they say. So here's the first one. It's too hard. Look at verse 9. What does Jesus say if we think prayer is too hard? Look at verse 9. He says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." 52 words. In English, less than 40 in the original Aramaic. Maybe a minute to pray. Now, when Jesus says this then is how you should pray, he's not saying this is the only way to pray, or that we should only use these words. They're not a mantra or a magic spell. They're just a simple set of words, showing us how simple it is to pray. Prayer is just talking to God. We don't have to use a special language or adopt a special position when we pray. We don't have to wait our turn or book an appointment to speak to God. We don't have to be fancy, and we don't have to be afraid. We're never bothering God. We're never interrupting him. He's never too busy for us. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whenever you want, you can pray. You can start talking, and you can be sure that the God of the universe, the King of creation, the Lord of heaven and earth will listen to you. He will hear your prayer. He is our Father. And he loves to hear from us. He loves it when we talk to him. Prayer isn't hard. It's simple. It's just talking to the God who loves you. And you can do it out loud. And you can do it in your head. You can do it with your eyes open as you look around and marvel at his creation. Or as you drive to work or walk to school. Or you can do it with your eyes closed as you lay in bed. Or before you turn over the exam paper. Or as you sit in the hospital car park. You don't need a mat or beads or a shawl. You don't need space or silence. You don't need a teacher to teach you or a guru to guide you. Prayer as an activity isn't hard. It's incredibly simple. So why do we find it hard so often? Well, I think that leads to the second reason that we often give for not praying, and that is, I don't know what to say. Now, of course, sometimes that's not true, is it? Sometimes it's incredibly easy to know what to say because we're in pain. Or we're in trouble. Or someone we know is suffering. When we're in need, it's easy to pray. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus' model prayer doesn't start like that. Look at verse 9. "This then is how you should pray," Jesus says. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus' prayer doesn't start with me. Doesn't start with my problems and my needs. It starts with God. It starts by remembering who he is and where he is. Our Father in heaven. You see, whatever is happening in my life or my family or in our world, above and beyond all of that, the ultimate reality and the most important fact that I so easily forget, but that my prayers remind me of, is that right now God is ruling in heaven. And what I need right now, and what you need, and what our world needs more than anything else, is to remember our God is ruling in heaven. Somewhere I read this week this quote: "If you have food but not God, you're still starving. If you have health but not God, you're still sick. If you have peace but not God, you're still at war. If you have prosperity but not God, you're still poor." So the thing I need to know and remember more than anything else is my Father, our Father, who is in heaven. And the thing that I need to do that is more desperate and more urgent than anything else right now is to worship God. And the thing that I need more of, and that we need more of in greater quantity than anything else, is his rule and his reign and his kingdom to come into our lives and into our world, because earth will be like heaven only when we fix our eyes on him and our lives revolve around him. And then we pray verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." Isn't it interesting that so often when we pray, we cry out to God in emergencies? But Jesus doesn't. He reminds us that we don't just come to God in emergencies, we come to God in everything, even our daily bread. Jesus reminds us that most of the time, we are slow to pray because we think, "I've got this. I'm okay, I know what I'm doing, I can handle this." And we think to ourselves, well, God is there for those times when I've not got this and I need his help. But Jesus says, no, that's not true. If you want to breathe today, you need God. If you want to live today, you need God. If you want to love today and have hope today and joy today and peace today, you need God. Without him, you can do nothing. It's one of my favorite verses of the Bible. John 15 verse 5, Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." If you want to do anything good today, you need God. If you want to do anything of worth today, you need God. So we don't just bring our emergencies to him, we bring everything to him. Because everything good comes from him. And so the thing that I need today more than anything else, and the thing that you need today more than anything else, is a right relationship with God, which explains where Jesus goes next in his prayer. Verse 12, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." A man once prayed, "Dear God, thank you for helping me so far today not to lose my temper. And not to be envious of others, and not to struggle with lust, and not to be jealous or unkind or rude to anyone. But Lord, in a moment, I'm going to get out of bed, and that's when I really need your help." We need God's help. and we need God's forgiveness. And so, you see, we've seen already prayer isn't hard. It's really very simple. But that's not the same as saying that it's easy. Because it's not easy. Because prayer requires me to be humble. Prayer requires me to be dependent. Prayer requires me to admit my faults and say sorry and confess my sins. And prayer requires me to act. In Matthew chapter 18, you might know it, Jesus tells the story of a man who owes a king the equivalent of billions of pounds. And he goes to the king and he explains he doesn't have the money. And the king, in incredible kindness and grace, wipes out the debt. He sets the man free. And then the man leaves the palace. And on his way out, he sees another chap who owes him a tenner. Well, the other guy doesn't have the 10 pounds. And so the first man throws him into jail. And Jesus tells the story to say that is how ridiculous it is. If you are a Christian who knows how much you've been forgiven by God, to not forgive others. It makes no sense. In fact, it shows you don't really understand your sin or God's forgiveness at all. Which I think is why Jesus adds verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's not saying God won't forgive you unless you forgive others. It's saying if you know God's forgiveness, you will forgive others. Praying's made that apparent. And so prayer is incredibly simple. It's just talking to God, but it's not easy. Because when you talk to God and remember who he is and remember where he is, it humbles you. And it reminds you how much you need him, and it reminds you how much you need to change. And that leads on to the third reason that people often give for why they don't pray. And that's because it doesn't work. You see, if you think the point of prayer is to change God's mind and make him do something, well then, friend, you will pray and conclude it doesn't work. Because that's not the point of prayer. That's what most people think the point of prayer is, that it's a kind of arm-twisting exercise to get God's attention and to get him to do what you want him to do, but it's not. You don't need to get his attention. He hasn't been distracted and somewhere else. It says in verse 8, doesn't it, that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He knows exactly what's going on. And friends, you can be sure God is more wise and more loving than you or I could possibly be. He's more wise and loving than we could possibly imagine. So why would we want him to change his mind and do what we want? No, when we pray, it reminds us that we are the ones who need to change. And it shows us how we should act. Prayer is simple, but it's not always easy. Because it forces us to take our eyes off ourselves and to fix them on God's. It forces us to humble ourselves. And it shows us how we need to change. But it's also wonderful. Because it reminds us that we have a wonderful Heavenly Father. Who is always with us. Who we can come to for anything. And who we can trust with everything. I was thinking about prayer as I was preparing for this. And I think for a lot of people, the idea of just talking And God listening is a hard one to get their heads around. And then I thought, you know, I'm not sure it really is. Because in 2011, on the iPhone 4S, Apple first included Siri. So you could say, hey Siri, and ask Siri any question. Hey Siri, what's the capital of Turkmenistan? And Siri would tell you. I don't know what it is, but it could tell you. And then in 2014, Amazon launched the Echo Smart Speaker, and you could talk to Alexa. Hey Alexa, tell me a joke. Play some music. Make a shopping list. You could walk to any room in your house that had a smart speaker and just talk, and Alexa would be listening. You can talk to your phone and some AI bot will answer. It's what we do all the time. But we have something so much better than the world has to offer. Do you know what Siri has to offer? The best of human knowledge. The best of the internet. Alexa can only tell you what's out there that we've thought of or discovered. Friends, you and I, wherever we are, at any time, can talk to our Heavenly Father in heaven. And he hears us. And he will answer our prayers in the very best possible way. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what an amazing gift prayer is. So help us, we pray, not just to pray when we're in church with others, not just to pray when we're with our family and starting a meal. Those times are good times to pray, but would you help us to be people who pray all the time? As we're walking to school, as we're driving to work, when things are on our hearts and on our minds, would we come to you in prayer? Would we love to find time in the day where we sit by ourselves and talk to you, our Father in heaven? Teach us to be prayers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.